today, Lord. And Lord, I just say, Lord, I love you and I thank you, Lord, that you're so great. You're so fantastic, Lord. You're so brilliant, Lord. You're so powerful and awesome. And thank you that you're for us and you're not against us and you want to help us, Lord, to step into our destiny, to step into our personal walk, our personal destiny and calling, but also to step into our destiny as a people in this place, in Crawley and East Grinstead and other places, Lord. Yeah. So we give you the glory this morning, Lord Jesus. We thank you that we just want to follow you. We just want to devote our whole lives and everything that we have to you, Lord. We want to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and you've promised that all these other things will be added to us as we do. So we thank you, Father. Speak to us today, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, we want to welcome you if you're here for the first time this morning. Anyone here for the first time? Our friend here at the front. Anyone else? Yeah, welcome. There's someone here. It's great. We've got three or four new people here this morning amongst us, so it's great to have you with us. We pray God's blessing over you this morning too, that God will bless you and speak to you. At the moment, we're doing a series called God the Builder. And last week, I just reviewed just very, very briefly what we were talking about last week, because last week we were speaking about, remember, God's been talking to us as a church that he wants to build up the walls. Do you remember that? And the walls are made up of what? What's the first thing that the walls are made up of? Our relationship to God in prayer, all right? Our walk with God in prayer, okay? Our relationship with God, that's the first thing. The second thing, what is the second thing that the walls are made up of? Our relationship with others, okay? So this is how God has put it to us, that the walls are built up out of relationship. The walls are relationship, our relationship with God. So that's your personal walk with Jesus. And the second thing is your walk with other people in the church, your relationship to other people. And they're called walls. They're relationships that build up the walls of the church. And actually, the Lord has come to make his home in the midst of us, hasn't he? Like yesterday when we were in Queen Square, the Lord was there, wasn't he? Yes. Those of you that were there, the Lord was right there in the square. And the Lord is living in the church with us too. And last week we were talking about words that build up. And in 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1 it says, love builds up. And we were talking last week about the words that we speak, how God will hold us to account about every word that we speak. God will hold you and me account for every word. Every good word, every idle word will be held account. That should help to sharpen us to make sure that the words that we do speak are words of life, words of faith, and words of goodness. And Proverbs 15:23 says, a word spoken in due season. We want to be people who speak words in due season, don't we? That when you and I get up in the morning, we should be asking the Lord, Lord, who do you want me to speak to today? A word of life. It's a good way to start the day, you know. Not how do I feel, because you probably won't feel necessarily great. What do you think about yourself? Don't go there. But what does God have to say and what does God think about you? Go there. And what does God want to say to somebody today? So start your day thinking about the Lord, about who he is, and start thinking about other people and leave yourself at the back. Leave yourself last of all. So don't even consider yourself, but think about the Lord and think about other people. And we want to minister words of life to people. And you can do that in lots of different ways. You can, first of all, pray for them, but then you can text them. You could leave a message. You could write them a card. You can go around and speak to them. That would be good, wouldn't it? And encourage people with words of life, words of truth, words that God is speaking. And Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 12 says, my words will not return empty. You know the one? My word will not return void. Every word that God speaks, he sends it out like a boomerang that will do its job. If it's healing, it'll heal people and it'll come back. All right? Everything that God speaks, he sends his word so that it'll come all the way back and finish its task. Amen. Now, you and I need to have the same attitude in the things that we speak, that when we speak words of God, words of life, that the words that go out from our mouth don't just disappear and fall to the ground, but if they're words from God, they'll go out and they'll be like a boomerang. They'll do it. They'll do a job. They'll hit the target and they'll come back with fruitfulness. Does it make sense?
Amen.
God wants us to be living in his word and speaking his word. God has put words in your mouth this morning. God has put his words in your mouth today. Not just a burp. God's put words in our mouths, and he wants us to speak his words and his life and his love every day that we live. And I want you to get ready for a brand new week this week. This week is a new week. And as a new week even starts today, where we can make a determination, Lord, you've put your words in my mouth and I'm going to speak them. Would you just like to say that with me? Lord, you put your words in my mouth and I'm going to speak them. Now, you didn't all say that, so I want you to say it with me again. Lord, you put your words in my mouth and I'm going to speak them. And make sure that you speak his words this week. Every day that goes by, don't let it be a day where you didn't speak out the words of God. And I'm not just talking about reading out scripts. I'm talking about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You tell someone, hey, Les, you did really great. Thanks for your help yesterday. That's a word of great encouragement, isn't it? Build one another up in faith and in the word. Not just scriptures, although scripture is really, really the greatest word. But we want to encourage and build one another up in love. So every day consider, Lord, who do you want me to speak to? Who do you want me to ring? Who do you want me to encourage today? This Christian life isn't about me. It's about Christ and it's about other people. And the more that we live that way, you and I are going to get so blessed that we begin to lose ourselves in God. And that's the greatest thing, that we lose ourselves in God. We no longer are concerned about ourselves or what we're doing or what we're not doing, but we're just giving ourselves out for God. Amen. Now, John chapter 6 and verse 63. If you'd like just to turn there, just very important word here. John chapter 6 and verse 63. And here's the key for all of us as believers. We're all believers here today, I believe. If we're not, we will be. And it says here that in verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit living in you gives life. It's the Spirit who gives life, Jesus says, but the flesh, that's just your natural life, just you on your own without God, profits nothing. But the words that I speak, Jesus says, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Amen. So just imagine sitting down for breakfast with Jesus. Just imagine you're one of the disciples, you sit down for breakfast with Jesus. Do you think you're going to get encouraged just by sitting down with the man? I reckon you would. Because what's coming out of him is life. It's the life. It's the life of God. And even without speaking, life is coming out of him. But when he speaks words of life. Amen. Not just scripture. We can all speak scripture, but I'm talking speaking words of life. Yes. Using scripture and speaking out, yes. But speaking words of life. And Jesus said this is how to live. Live by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living in you. The Spirit gives life. So when I'm with people, if I'm, say, with someone here in the church, and we pray together or we just talk together, what I'm looking for the life of God. Amen? In your marriage, you're looking for the life of God. The life of God in your marriage. If you're not married, God's looking for the life of God in you and in your relationships, those close relationships with other people. He's looking for life. And when we come together as a church, when I come here in the building, I don't judge it by how loud we sang or how long we worshipped, but the life of the Spirit that was here. I go away uplifted or perhaps challenged. Amen. Does that make sense? So the Spirit gives life, and the Holy Spirit is here today and is giving life to us in the worship, in the word, and so on. The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing, but the words that God wants you to speak are to be spirit and life. Amen. So they'll minister to other people. Amen. Does it make sense? And Ephesians 4 and verse 25, we read some of these last week, but it's important we go over these again just to remind ourselves. Verse 25, it says here, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. So God wants us to be walking in truth together. Amen. Not exaggerating, that's lying. That's called lying. If we exaggerate about something because we want our conversation to people to think good of our conversation, God says that's not walking in truth. Right? God wants us to be straight. He wants our yes to be yes and no to be no. He wants us to be honest and truthful. So it says here, put away lying, but let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Words that build up, that's what it's saying. For we are members of one another. Amen. So we're members all of one another. We may be scattered during our week, doing different things, going to work, living in different places, but we are members of one another. And the words that you speak, the way that you live your week, has an effect on the rest of the body. Did you know that? If, for example, sometimes I've woken up in the night and I've been disturbed in my sleep. And when I prayed about it, God said, because there's something in the body that isn't right and you need to pray for different members of the church. Why is that? Because something has disturbed me, because it's disturbed him. He's the head of the church, isn't he? And he speaks to not just me, but he speaks to us about what's going on in the church. And if you're not living right, not speaking right, I guarantee your words will have a wrong effect in the body of Christ, in the church. Just as when you speak the words and speak truth and live in truthfulness, those words will actually build up the body. You've got a body this morning. You came in a body. I think most of you did anyway. You came in a body. Whether you're in it or not is another question. But you came in a body this morning, and you know that if one little part isn't quite right, it affects the whole body. Like a little splinter in your finger can be really irritating and annoying. It affects the whole body. And in the same way, just wrong words that you speak can actually have a negative effect on the body. But a positive word and words of life and words that praying the word of God over your life and over your loved ones and over the church builds up the body, and we receive life. The words that God wants us to speak are spirit and life. So let's speak truth to one another, because we're members of each other. And then verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Just think about that for a minute. Because in the course of one day, you speak probably, I've never sort of counted it, but you probably speak, well, hundreds if not thousands of words you speak every day. Certainly in the course of a week, thousands and thousands of words come out of your mouth. And for Marcia, millions. And in verse 29, it says, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. So it doesn't matter if you speak millions or thousands. What matters is, are these words good words, faith words, life words, or are they corrupt words? And Jesus says to us this morning, the Spirit says, don't let any corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Now, who has control over your tongue? Me. You. We do. So don't blame the devil. Don't blame the fact that you hit your thumb or you hammered your thumb. Right? Don't blame other people. Just take account of yourself and begin to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to rule over your tongue and over your mind. Because the Holy Spirit will help you. That's why he's come to live in us. It's because he wants to help us rule and reign in our lives. Not me on my own, but now the Holy Spirit is living in me. So I've got a partner with me. He's living in me. He's the senior partner. He's called the Holy Spirit. And when we invited Jesus Christ to be Lord of our lives, to come into our lives, he said, right, I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the person of Christ. He's the person of God the Father, and he's living in you. So don't make excuses. You have the Spirit of God living in you this morning, and the Holy Spirit will enable you to really master your tongue and master your thoughts and master the way that you live. It's called self-control. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit living in you. And the Holy Spirit wants to help you this morning. Are you glad about that? God hasn't said, tough, you're on your own. You just have to learn how to live the Christian life all on your own some. But he says, no, I give you my Spirit, and I give you the power and the love of my Spirit to enable you to live the life of Christ. So we just need to let him come and take over, don't we? We need to let him come and take control and work in partnership with him. The Christian life is a partnership. It's a relationship. It's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us more than we realize. He wants to help you more than you realize so that you'll have mastery over the things that you think, over your own heart, and over the words that you speak. And he'll begin to flow through you. That gets very exciting when it gets like that he's really in control. And so it says here, don't let any corrupt word come out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. The word edification means to build up. So the whole point of our speech is so there'll be creative words that will build people up. Like yesterday, talking to unsaved people, I talked to a lady yesterday who'd gone right away from God, was living probably as far away as you can get from God. But I just felt the compassion and the love of God for her, and I told her what God was saying to me for her and in her relationships. And I know God was speaking to her yesterday. What was I doing? I was releasing words of spirit and life. And I know that those words that were left yesterday, never see her again, but I know the words that were spoken will become a life source to her. And as she turns back to God, she'll rediscover her hope and rediscover her relationship with Jesus. That's my faith, that, you know, from what happened yesterday, one of the people that I spoke to. But we've been given this ability to speak words of life, that words that will build up. When you speak to the Lord, these are words that build up. When he speaks to you, these are words that build you up when God speaks you out of his word. And we need to release words of life that will build one another up, because this will build the walls of the church. Amen. It also says here that it may impart grace to the hearers. So when we speak to people, we want to impart God's grace, God's favor. They'll actually go away thinking, "Cool, I really received something this morning from that. That really helped me. That really blessed me." You know, just even one word can change everything. One word spoken in the right way at the right time can change everything around. And that's how God wants us to be. And we need to ask ourselves, in every situation that we find ourselves, what does God have to say about this? What's God's word in this situation? Every week that we go through, every day we go through, there's a challenge. There'll be a challenge in that day somewhere. There'll be something that we'll have to make a decision about. There'll be something that will challenge us. And we need to ask the question, what does God say about this? That's a good way to start thinking. In every situation, what does God have to say about this? What's God's word in my situation? You'll find God has a word to say in every situation. It will be in the Bible somewhere. If you're not sure, go and talk to someone. Ask someone to pray with you about it. But God has a word in every situation for your life and for your needs. And as you get to know what his word is, you then begin to speak out his word. Come into agreement with God and begin to confess his word over your life. Amen? Don't wait till things happen. Speak the things that are going to happen before they come to pass. You know, yesterday, just for your interest, there was a lot of rain elsewhere. Yeah. We just got a few little pitter-pats yesterday in the town square, but there was actually some heavy showers around and about yesterday and never hit the square. Amen. Amen. That was an answer to prayer. Speak out God's word before things come to pass. Speak out about this over the Sunday meeting before the Sunday meeting happens. And speak out in God. God will show you the things to pray and the things to speak. Speak out before you talk to people about the word of God, the words that God wants to speak to people. Begin to decree. Remember Jerry opened up the meeting last week and he read that verse out of Job 22. I will decree a thing and it will surely come to pass. God wants us to speak out. That's how God works. He speaks his word and it comes to pass. And he wants us to be living. This is called living and speaking by faith. Amen, that we begin to catch hold of what God is saying, then we declare it. We declare it and it comes to pass. And come with me, please, to John chapter 13. And I've entitled this morning's brief talk. Notice the word brief there. Brief talk. My message this morning is brief, and it's about being a community of love. I'm going to say a little bit more, get into some practical things next week about this, but this week we're talking about being a community of love. God's called us to be a church of love, hasn't he? Yeah. And he's called us to be a community of love, both here, certainly at Horsham and Kingdom Faith at Horsham. We're all part of the Kingdom Faith family, and over East Corinth in the group there, we're to be a community of love. And in John 13, verse 35, it says this. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you that you love, what does it say? one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all know that you are my disciples, if you have, what does it say?
Love
for one another. You getting the message? God has called us in this church made up of communities of love. Love for God and love for one another as he's building up the walls. And I want us to look this morning at Matthew chapter 26 and just talk about this for a few minutes. Matthew 26, something that happened to Jesus, 26 and verse 6. It was interesting because I decided to speak about this from the early part of last week. Yesterday we had, in one of the dramas, was the there was a drama about the woman with the alabaster pot or flask that had oil in it, very, very expensive perfume. And the Lord's been speaking about this quite a lot in different ways recently, and it was very, very moving. Now, in verse 6, are you all there? Matthew 26, verse 6, are you all there? It says in verse 6, and when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly, fragrant oil. In another of the Gospels, it says that this oil was worth about a year's wages. Now, let's just suppose that the average wage, let's suppose it's £30,000. That'll give you some idea of how valuable this alabaster flask, I don't know how big it was, it couldn't have been that big, but it was filled with this costly, fragrant oil. And it says that she opened it, and she poured it on Jesus' head as he sat at the table in Bethany. And when his disciples saw it, they were angry. They were indignant, saying, "Why this waste?" Wow. "For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." So they were thinking naturally. They were thinking reasonably, but actually thinking unreasonably, really. "And when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial.'" This woman's life had already been changed by Jesus. And she was so thankful, she recognized who Jesus Christ really was. And she felt that the only thing she could do was give her all that she had, really, which was wrapped up or in this alabaster flask, a very expensive perfume. It doesn't say that she was a rich woman. I would suggest that this was all that she had in terms of value. But what she did was she knew that this Jesus was the Son of God. She knew that this was God. And she knew that he was going to pay a sacrifice. She had a prophetic insight in who Jesus was. And as an act of thankfulness and devotion and love, she poured the flask of oil out on Jesus' head. And Jesus says this. He says, "Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the world, in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Wow. And I just want to talk just for a few minutes about devotion this morning. Because this story is all about this woman had a devotion for Jesus. And the bottom line for every one of us in this church is that God will actually build us up as a community of love, not by us trying harder or by me rattling off on a Sunday morning saying, you know, we need to love one another more here. But it'll happen by our devotion to Jesus. It'll happen by us sacrificially giving ourselves to him in all kinds of different ways. And for me, this story is about a woman whose life had already changed because she'd met in the presence of Jesus. And in her act of devotion or worship was that she poured this over his head and blessed him. And the Lord's been saying to me, this is the kind of church I want you to be. This is the kind of person, this is the kind of man or woman that God wants you to be. He wants us to be men and women of devotional worship. Amen. Not just, we're not talking about singing songs here on a Sunday. That's part of our worship. But we're talking about a lifestyle of pouring our life out in God for others. Giving into the offering perhaps more than you can afford to. Perhaps giving someone some time that you can't afford to give in your own thinking. And Jesus commends this woman for what she gave to him out of her heart. She gave great devotion to the Lord. And the Lord has a challenge for us this morning. I mean, let me ask you a question this morning. What do you want to be remembered for? This woman has a memorial, has a memory left in the Bible about who she was. And it's been spoken of for over 2,000 years now about what she did for Jesus. What do you want to be remembered for when it comes to your life with Jesus? Because Jesus wants all of us in this room to have something that we're remembered for. Amen? He wants a memorial set up in memory of what you did for him, that people will remember. Ah, yes, I remember Martin Pierce. Yeah, Martin Pierce. He was that guy that carried that cross and prayed for the sick and witnessed about Jesus. He was the guy that when he went around, miracles happened around him because of the power of the Holy Spirit that was upon him, right? So God wants us there to be a memorial. Now, there'll only be a memorial about us if we totally devote ourselves to Christ. Jesus does not want to be just something that we do on a Sunday or somebody that we read about a little bit in our Bibles once or twice a week, but he wants us to be totally.
Amen.
I mean, when we wake up in the morning, the first thing that we think about isn't a cup of tea. That's the second thing, right? Or a coffee. But the first thing we think about when we wake up is Jesus.
Amen.
When we wake up in the night, what do we think about? Jesus.
Amen.
When we're walking down the street, what do we think about? Jesus. Even when we have loads of things that we're having to deal with, challenges and problems and difficulties, what's the number one thing that we have in our hearts?
Jesus.
So God wants us to live that way. And it's called devotion.
Amen.
And I just feel God is encouraging us this morning, saying, I want you to be a devoted man, a devoted woman of God. That in the things that you think, in the things that you say, and the way that you live, like this woman, you pour yourself out for Jesus.
Amen.
You anoint his head with oil. This is worship.
Amen.
Living a life of worship.
Yes.
And before you think, well, he's just talking about my time with God, which isn't very good at the moment. I'm talking about much more than that. I'm talking about our devotional relationship with Jesus goes right through the week.
Amen.
So if I meet up with Les in the week, Jesus is there.
Amen.
He stands between us.
Amen.
Right? If you're in the workplace with loads of unsaved people around you, Jesus is right there with you.
Amen.
And what he's looking for, a pouring out of your life, a pouring out of devotion to Jesus in the place where you find yourself. Does this make sense? Devotion isn't just worshipping our vertical relationship with Jesus. Devotion is horizontal.
Amen.
This lady didn't just stay at home and just say, I love you, God, and worship him on her own at home. But what she did, she came to where Jesus was in a house and she poured out the oil and blessed Jesus and worshipped him. And Jesus was really, really pleased with what she did. It was misunderstood by everyone else except Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And you and I can misunderstand things that people sometimes do, but they did it for Jesus, actually. They may have looked a fool to you, but they actually pleased him. They may have, in your eyes, been something quite ridiculous, but in his eyes, they were very acceptable.
Amen.
And God is saying to you, he's saying to all of us, I want you to change the way you think. I want to change your heart because I want you to be a devoted people.
Mm.
God wants us to be a community of love where the walls are being built. We're being built up in love, in our devotion to Jesus. And if you're open this morning, as we shortly, in about 5-10 minutes, we're going to take communion together. I want us, in a new way, just to devote yourself to Jesus. That your life, the rest of your life from this day forward is going to be a life of being poured out for him. If you want it to be that way. If you want to devote your whole life to following and worshipping Jesus, then when we take communion, God's going to seal something in our hearts today about devotion. Is that all right? God wants us to be devoted totally to him. And the way that we're devoted isn't what monks do or nuns do, where they shut themselves up for years and years in a place to pray. That's great to pray, but what Jesus did, he said, you pray and then you go out. You devote yourself in prayer, you devote yourself in God's word, and then you go out and devote yourself to a lost world. You devote yourself to God's people. You pour yourself out into other people's lives. And I believe that God's going to start challenging us even from this morning. He's going to say, I guarantee it, is that all right? I guarantee that God's going to he's going to challenge every single one of us. There are going to be things that God's going to say to you today and this week. He's going to say, Lee, I'm asking you to devote yourself in this way to this person. He's going to say, Anita, I'm going to ask you to devote yourself to this person here. Debbie, I'm going to ask you to do this for this person over here. He's going to speak to us one by one this week. And the test will be, are we going to devote ourselves to Jesus Christ by doing this for this person? It's called love. See, we can be very spiritual here on a Sunday and even in a prayer meeting, but what God is looking at, he's looking at the heart. Amen. He's looking at the devotion of our hearts. And all I know is we need to have fantastic meetings, we need to have great times of prayer, but we also need to let it get out there. Amen. To those that don't know him, to the to-be-saved people, but we also need to let it work very thoroughly amongst us as God's people. Amen? Amen. Where we're devoting ourselves to the Lord and to one another, sacrificially. That means, as someone said earlier, it'll cost something. It will cost us something, but it's worth paying it. It's worth giving it. This woman gave everything she got, I believe, when she poured out that oil on Jesus. But do you know what she got back? What did she get back? Sorry?
Memory.
She got back the memory. She did, but she got more. She did get back that memory. She'll never forget that time. Yeah. But what else did she receive?
Blessings.
Blessing. God's love.
Freedom.
She received everything she needed. She received, if she needed forgiveness, she received forgiveness because she just devoted her whole self to God. Turn with me to Matthew, just the chapter behind, Matthew 25. What will Kingdom Faith Church at Crawley be known for? What will we be remembered for? Apart from red t-shirts. I believe that that we're here more than anything else to be remembered for the love that we had for the King, for Jesus, and for one another, and for a lost world. I believe that if we have such a devotion, such a sacrificial devotion to Jesus, that it goes out in that way to a lost world, that people will remember this church, not as Old Kingdom Faith Church. Well, they meet somewhere in Crawley, don't they? They'll remember, no, Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley, that's the church that loves people, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the people that's full of his presence. That's the people where lots of healings take place every week. That's the place where miracles happen. That's the place where someone got raised from the dead a few months ago. That's the place where they all seem to be well-dressed and well-looked after. That's because God provided for them. That's the kind of people God wants us to be remembered for. That we are, because we devoted ourselves to God, God says, in that case, I'll give you everything I've got. When we devote ourselves fully to the Lord Jesus, I guarantee he'll give you everything that he's got.
Amen.
To you. Amen. And not only that, but he'll start releasing your gifts and start releasing your callings and the things that you've got in your heart. God will start releasing those things. When we devote ourselves fully to Jesus, forget about yourself, devote yourself to him. And he'll bring such a release on your life. You'll find yourself actually doing the very thing that you wanted to do. That's the amazing thing about the Lord. And in Matthew 25 and verse 31, just remember these words here that we're going to read. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me
food.
I was thirsty, and you gave me
drink.
I was a stranger, and you took me
in.
I was naked, and you... I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer. These are the devoted people of God. saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Lord, we didn't see you. You weren't here. We did this to people. And when did we see you sick, verse 39, or in prison and come to you? And the king, Jesus, will answer and say, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Wow. Every time you do, you devote your love, the love that you have for God, you devote that love to somebody in the church or outside of the church, Jesus says, I count it as if you did it to me. It's the same as you doing it for me. It's the same as you doing it to me. The trouble is, a lot of our lives, we live in boxes. We have the God box, the Christian box, and then they have the world box. That's what we do, you know, that's the normal life that we live out here. But God says, no, I want everything in one box. In fact, I don't want any boxes. I just want you to do everything in me. And so the whole of our lives is a devotion to him. So everything that we do unto him. Just think about that. When you go to work, that isn't a separate box that's less spiritual than being here on a Sunday. No, that's all part of God's world. And when you go to work, whatever you do it as unto the Lord. And Jesus says, I receive that from you. So when we feed someone who's hungry, guess who you just fed?
Jesus.
When you just gave to someone who had no more money in their pocket because they actually genuinely didn't have it, what wasn't their own fault, they didn't misspend it, but and we go and help them, who have we just given to?
Jesus.
When we pray for someone who's sick, who have we done it unto?
Jesus.
Are you getting the picture?
Yeah.
This is called devotional love. Devotional love that God's calling us to. And the king will answer and say, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. Naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you? Hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, or in prison, and didn't minister to you? And he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And it says, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
Amen.
I know which side I want to be on.
Amen.
I know which side I'm on. And I know which side we're on as a church. And I just believe God is saying to us this morning, devote yourself fully to me. Become the community of love I've called you to be. Start devoting yourselves in love to me and to one another in a new way. Be poured out. There's a pouring out God wants in this church where we literally begin to pour ourselves out into other people's lives. And the blessing that comes, the fragrance, that whole house was filled with the fragrance of this perfume. And you know, there's a fragrance about Jesus that the world loves. They both hate him and love him, because they can see his good. And God wants this devotion to be in our lives. Let's all stand, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We'll just wait for the others to come and join us, but just lift your hands to the Lord. We're just going to worship the Lord just for a few minutes. Just take on board the word that God's speaking to you this morning, because he's talking this morning about being devoted to him, being poured out, being like that fragrant oil, that which costs you something. Maybe it will cost you everything. But what you get back in giving your whole heart, which is what we're talking about this morning, giving your whole heart to the Lord Jesus in your life, God will more than pay back. He will bless you. He will pour out such blessings into your life. He'll give you more so that you can give some more. That's the way it works. The more you give, the more he gives back to you. Pressed down, shaken over. We're not just talking about money now. We're talking about blessings. We're talking about the life of the Spirit of God. We're talking about miracles and healings. The more you give out, the more you'll receive back from him to give out some more. There's an increase. There's an expansion taking place in the church this morning. We thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Let's just worship the Lord. Just give yourself to Him. Just devote yourself to Him in worship as we worship the Lord.
King of endless love, how wonderful you are. None could ever take your place. Seated on your holy throne, robed in majesty, with glory shining from your